Hey guys, hope you're all doing well. This is another episode of the Afropolitan Central podcast, and I'm here with your favorite co-host, Amalayo.
Hey everyone, so glad to be here with you all.
I know, and we hope that you probably noticed that we took a little, semi-break. What had happened was one day turned into a week turned into a couple, but we're back and we're super excited to be with you. Today we're
talking... Okay, that was a humble brag though, because what actually happened is that Nana graduated, she did her master's.
Oh my gosh.
We just had like a lot of different things going on. At one point, Nana, finished up her master's degree. Like, she finished a while ago, but she did the graduation ceremony and everything like that. So that kind of, messed with our schedule. And then I went to New York for a friend of mine who was graduating. Shout out to Sama, getting her JB. Hey. So then, we missed each other with that weekend. Mm-hmm. And then after that, Nana went to go live her best life in Canada with our friend and, number one fan, I think I can say, Samantha. So shout out to Samantha. We appreciate you. So that's kind of why, one day turned to another,
But best believe that we missed, being here and, having these conversations. So we're super excited to be back. Today we're talking about a fun topic. We're talking about travel, and we're going to analyze and just discuss it, slice and dice it from various angles. We're going to start, but before we actually get into it, we're going to talk about a recent article that we wrote. And we wrote, no, we did not write this article. A recent article that we read. Malaya sent it to me. And so it's not travel related. So bear with us for just 2 to 3 minutes. We're going to just dive into that because we just felt we were having so many conversations about it. We were like, why not just add this in? And then afterwards, we're going to get into the main topic for today, which is about travel. We're going to talk about, our own... experiences with traveling on the African continent, or rather not traveling on the other on the African continent, some of the factors that we think contribute to this in general. We're gonna dive into recent travel trends that we've seen on social media, etc., and then get into finally some of the under-radar spots in our countries that we think you need to go see, as well as places that are on our travel bucket list. So Amalayo, I'll hand this over to you because you know about this article way more than me, seeing as how you sent it to me.
It's okay. Yeah. So one prelude to this article real quick is that we talked about in the last episode, and if you haven't checked it out, you definitely should. So the last topic was about fashion and Afropolitan fashion's rise to the global stage. So kind of the history of that, talked about the ways that African culture gets to be more appreciated and things like that. That's what we talked about in the last episode. So we kind of felt like this article that we're about to talk about was a really good continuation of that conversation. So the title of the article is "A Black Transcendent Lawsuit is Testing the Cultural Exchange Between Africans and African Americans." And so it's from Quartz Africa. So they kind of just talk about this artist. Let me find her name real quick. So sorry. Lina Iris.
Okay.
Lina Iris Victor, she is suing Kendrick Lamar, SZA, and Dave Myers, and Top Dog Entertainment, all the people who work on the video for All of the Stars, which is one of the songs on the original soundtrack for Black Panther, right? And so basically, Lina Victor, she's British Liberian. Her thing is that there's a portion of the video that shows art that looks like a copy of her art, right? And so it's the part where there's black screen and everything. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the scene is, I think, probably maybe one of my favorite scenes in the video. It's towards the end where Kendrick almost walks. He has this little durag on, and he walks in, and he's surrounded by these majestic looking black women, and it's very black and gold themed, and it's beautiful and very eye catching. But yeah.
And then you guys know that throughout the video and even throughout the film, there's a lot of places where different African cultures are referenced, right? So the architecture, that's Malian, right? And then there's, like, you know, kente cloth, like something that looks like kente cloth in the video. There's just, like, different references to different, to various African cultures. But what Lena is kind of, like, saying is that, yes, but, like, this one is specific to me. And so for us, I think, for me at least, I think that's kind of where the difference lies. Like, it's cool to, like, appreciate a culture and, like, showcase it in your video. But, like, when something is specific to a artist and not a culture, like, I don't know if he can really use it without their permission, you know?
Yeah, and I think what makes this a bit dicey, at least on the article that we read, was that I think Marvel, I want to say, had previously approached her on using her artwork, but they never came to a conclusion because they couldn't agree on the compensation, etc., and so she walked away from it. So to go from approaching that person, and I know, yes, that's Marvel, so maybe TDE and Kendrick probably had no knowledge or oversight of this ever even happening, but I think probably for her, it's even more of a sore spot, like, y'all approached me, we couldn't work something out, and then you're just like, we're just gonna have this anyway. So it's just
juxtaposed with the lyrics of the song is just kind of, like, really, really, like, heartbreaking, because the song is all, like, uplifting and about how we're supposed to, like, celebrate each other and everything.
Yeah.
And so if this lawsuit, like, proves to be true or whatever, it's going to just, I don't know how it's going to paint the image of the song.
I think so. Because I kept telling Amalai that I don't know how I feel about this. And I kept saying that I was very conflicted. One, because when you look at the side-by-sides, like, bruh, it is.
We'll link the article below this in the show notes, because you guys need to see these pictures.
Like, it's obviously, you can see, like, maybe, it's almost like, in one picture, maybe the shade of gold is a bit brighter in one versus the other, and that's the only difference. So, like Amalia said, like, this song, this movie, this movement has been so much about the diaspora, about not it just being Africans or African Americans versus, but for once, like, being able to kind of look at all the different things that tie us together and that link us together. This whole controversy has been very interesting, to say the least. I think in this case, when we say appropriation, we're not talking about cultural appropriation. We're talking about appropriation in its, you know, how the word means, like, literally.
Yeah, like intellectual property, like, a copyright infringement literally. Kind of issue.
Literally,
so if we hear any updates about this article, we'll definitely let you guys know. And, you know, we're always having conversations on these topics on our Instagram page, so just make sure you're following us there. So, and so with that, we would love to get into the topic of today, which is travel. So Nana and I both love travel so much, especially within Africa. So today's topic is specifically, like, travel within Africa, which is something that I feel, it's so underrated, right,
Anna? Yeah. I mean, to be fair, let me not sit here and pretend like I've been trotting across the motherland. I have not. I've only been to Ghana, and I haven't been to any other African country, and I do not say this with pride. I say this with, like, oh my gosh, I need to get on it. So this summer, actually, I was supposed to go to Zanzibar, which has been on my travel bucket list for so long. It ended up not working out. But next year, for sure, I'll be on one of the places that we're going to talk about later.
I've been to Senegal, Ghana, Côte d'Ivoire, Benin, and Nigeria. So hopefully one day I'll be, like, all 16 states of ECOWAS.
Right.
So firstly, for me, as someone who has been to a few of these African countries, there are a lot of barriers to traveling across Africa. So, like, I don't even blame you for only having been to Ghana, because sometimes it can just be, like, so daunting to try and travel across Africa for, you know, visa issues, airline issues, and the price, you know?
Oh, my goodness. So, in regard to visas, I was reading an article today. I tell you guys, courts has just been coming through, because after I read the Kendrick article, I saw another article, and I was like, ooh, and then I subscribed to, like, 10 newsletters. Anyway, they had an article about about the new president for Ethiopia. I think he's the youngest president in power, etc. He's been doing a lot of, you know, reforms, etc. One of the things that he's doing is, or one of the things in the works, is potentially going to be visa-free travel. I can't talk today, sorry guys. Visa-free travel. So that I thought that was really interesting, because I think that, like,
because we travel across Africa or to Ethiopia? So,
to Ethiopia. Girl, they can't
for everyone or just Africans? I don't know for them. The AU is in Ethiopia. I don't know if he's just going to be like, okay, guys, this is what we're doing
this
now.
This is what we're going to I think that they want it to be, it's visa-free just for Ethiopia. The article didn't specify if it was going to be only for Africans or for everybody across, but at least for Africans, hey, it's a great starting point for us.
Right.
And I know that we had also talked about ECOWAS.
Oh, I've been to Ethiopia too.
What? when
did... We'll get into that later.
Was this like a stopover flight or like some random?
Okay, it was a stopover flight, but it wasn't supposed to be. I was supposed to get on a layover, and then it ended up being a stopover. So they put us in a hotel. Ooh. And instead of like sitting in the hotel like the other Nigerians for my flight, I was like, I'm gonna go explore Ethiopia.
Oh my goodness.
Addis Ababa. So I like left the hotel and like explored for like half a day.
That sounds like just like me in Dubai. I had a stopover. Well, mine was designed to be stopover. I had a stopover and I went and explored. Most people were in the hotel, but I was like, I'm going out.
But free trip, like.
Yeah, but what you have said is so true, isn't it? Fine, people listening to us are probably going to be like, these girls and their generalizations. I promise I'm not trying to generalize, but I don't find it out of the norm at all that the other people stayed in the hotel. I do not.
Mm-hmm.
I can envision my
mom. Yeah, people actually thought I was crazy for leaving the hotel.
Literally.
Like,
they're probably like, is it safe? Who do you know here? Mm-hmm. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. And I feel like...
Exactly.
Yeah, I feel like this is part of the reason why I haven't been to many, if any, other African countries. Like, I'm sure today, if I was to tell my dad, oh, I'm going to go to, I don't know, Kenya, he'll be like, huh? Who do you know there?
Why?
For what? And I feel like that's a thing that's popular, at least with the older generation. Because for them...
Yeah, our parents' generation.
Yeah, for them, travel isn't always... Obviously, I'm not speaking for everybody, and it's not even feasible for this to be about every single African or every... Yeah, but for I feel like for a lot of them, at least the ones that I know in my country and maybe some of the others, for them, travel isn't always a leisurely thing. It's always...
It's either for, like, work,
yeah.
Education, and visiting somebody.
Uh-huh.
Those are, like, the three main reasons you travel.
Yep. Because my
dad, import-export business.
Exactly, because my dad lived in Nigeria for a couple of years, and this was before Ghana Mosco. He lived there, but it was for work. But I'm sure if you were to be like, oh, go visit Nigeria just to visit, he would be like, for what? Like, what is going on?
Exactly. Here? And my dad traveled extensively. Like, he's been to Russia, Italy, like all across Europe, Hawaii. But every time it was like an educational thing.
Yeah.
Like, he had a PhD in linguistics, right? So like he would be in all these different countries, like learning, right? It wasn't like, let me just travel to Italy for fun.
For fun. It's just like, what is that? But definitely, I feel like the cultural attitudes towards travel, I think that that's something that we think is definitely, you know, bears weight on why maybe us as Africans, we don't always travel across the continent as much, because if we're not moving around like with a purpose,
it's
like, what is this? Because then when it does come to leisure, we're always going abroad, like going out west.
Even before that, I think because people don't really travel like leisurely or whatever.
Yeah.
The other issue is like the airfare between African countries. I feel like, one, the number of routes is like not that many. And two, like when you do find a route, it is so expensive.
I was looking.
So I don't know which one. I don't know if it's a chicken or egg thing. Is it that we don't travel that much between African countries, so therefore they don't give us that many things? Or is that because they don't give us that many options, so therefore we don't travel?
I don't know. I think everything has just coalesced together to just become what it is. Because when you think about it, and this is a funny but very sad issue. Ghana, we used to have airlines. I think it was Ghana. Was it Ghana Airways or Ghana Airways? Yeah, Ghana Airways. And it was a thing when I was younger. But when I tell you, people used to get all kinds of free trips that work there. Like, I just like, this is a bit more than just a regular oh, you work here, so you're getting some points. This is like, I'm putting my whole family on. Anyway, suffice to say that the Airways is no longer functional. Last I heard, and I didn't get time to verify this, but last I heard, it'd been made into like a restaurant, kind of like museum-y kind of thing. That's what we're doing with our
Airways. What used to be.
What used to be.
I think Nigeria's airline is pretty well known, but I don't think for all the right reasons. Anyway, I won't go into that.
Oh, actually,
Eric Air. I don't really know what's going on with them. They did this whole like rebranding thing where like, oh, like we're safe and on time now, but like they're still madly at least like intranational flights, but like flights within Nigeria were still like madly. But I know they're trying. Yeah. Anyways, I know that a lot of different international airlines like banned Eric from flying into their airport because like I don't know exactly why, but I feel like one of the reasons is probably because like they would always be running late, and so therefore like mess up the schedule for other flights. Oh, like no. They need to find them another docking station. You know what I mean? But I just know that was one of their issues like a while back. So, like Eric has just like been fluctuating up and down. Yeah. And then there's other airlines within Nigeria that fly like more so within Nigeria, like Peace Air.
Yeah.
And then they might go to like places like Ghana or Togo or Benin, but they don't really go like anywhere else. So I feel like getting from Ghana to Nigeria isn't so bad, but like once you try to go from like Nigeria to Senegal, for example, or Nigeria to Kenya, like you're in trouble.
It's a different issue because I was looking at either Zanzibar or Lamu's in Kenya. I was looking at how much it would be from London there, and I think it's just about £500 or £600, which is quite pricey. But I was like, oh, I'm going all the way. I'm going, you know, across the continent, so it makes sense. And then I looked from Accra to Lamu, and it's £1,000+, and it's four different stops. And I was just like, what the heck? And then
why?
Because nothing goes straight. So you fly into Addis Ababa, I think, and then maybe into Nairobi. And then it's like, I was just like, if I wanted to travel, I'd look at this and say, you know what? I'm just going to stay at home because it's way too much.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then from Nigeria, like, even like in Nigeria, when I was hoping to go to Senegal, like, flights to France were cheaper than flights to Senegal.
Oh, my goodness. What the heck? I think that at the end of the day, like, I don't know. I think we have a president who's, you know, doing some things. Shame, I know. Shame. But, oh, look at you. but he's doing really well. So I feel like getting our own airlines, I mean, obviously, it's not as simple as just getting our own airlines, but I think that
people need to patronize. I will say that too. Like I've noticed a lot more airlines that fly within Nigeria, like I said. So I think definitely like the trend is on the up and up, and I'm just really proud of the work that various African countries are doing to try and make sure that flights within their countries and then to neighboring countries are similar.
I think
go ahead. Oh, okay. And so, like, some places that kind of try with that is, like, for example, the ECOWAS thing. I don't know if we, ECOWAS, you're allowed to fly between, you're allowed to enter other ECOWAS countries without a visa. So that definitely helps, like, encourage traveling within those countries.
Yeah.
So that's something that I really appreciate that ECOWAS does. But I will say, as a caveat, the land going between those countries by land can be a little bit more interesting of an experience. So for January, I went from Nigeria to Benin, like next door neighbors, whatever. The trouble I had crossing that border, and okay, so it's supposed to be free, right? Visa free, everything like that. These people at this border were like making people pay like 2,500 naira. To like stamp it and then enter and exit, and I'm like, that is like,
how much was 2,500 naira?
Oh, okay. When I was there, about 480 or 580 naira equals $1.
Okay.
So that should like, yeah. So, okay. But then that's like in both directions, and then if you don't have your if you don't have your immunization form, your yellow fever card, they'll just another thing that they'll make you pay for. So the issue actually isn't the price itself. The point is that it's not supposed to be there, right? Like we said that ECOWAS passport allows you to go from country to country without visa.
Yeah.
That means that I shouldn't be paying an entry and exit fee, right? Because like I went from Cote d'Ivoire to Nigeria back and forth and no one made me pay for anything. Like as far as like, you know, stamping my passport or whatever. Mm. So I shouldn't do that just because I'm walking across the border instead of flying across the border. Right? So it's definitely a corruption thing. And I was like talking to the people on the Benin side about it and they were like, oh, we do this because the Nigerians do it. So basically like I guess all corruption starts from Nigeria. I don't know. So because the Nigerians started charging the Benin people were like, okay, we'll charge you all too. So now everybody just charges everybody and it's like a hot mess.
Oh my goodness. It's very counterintuitive. So for our listeners who don't know what ECOWAS is the Economic Community of West African States. So it's what, 16 countries, I want to say?
15
instead? And what has been done in recent years was that an ECOWAS passport was introduced, so members of these 15 or 16 countries all have it. So then that is like almost like your EU passport to be able to go across. Mm-hmm. I don't have it yet, but I'm sure that when I renew my passport next, I'll get
You'll probably get it. And it's supposed to be more than that, too, because they've been talking about building a railway between the 15 countries for a while. So that's like a conversation that they've been having for a long time.
Yeah.
Sometimes they talk about like having the same currency, but I don't think that would work out just because the French countries are already on a safe system together, but getting the English-speaking countries on that will be, like, super tough. And then I feel like all the countries are at very different levels.
Exactly. That's always a really big thing that maybe we don't always account for, because Francophone West Africa or Francophone Africa is, you know, very different culturally, etc., economically, etc., from Anglophone West Africa or Africa. Those are some interesting, and I guess those account, well, not I guess, I know that those account for some of the barriers, because obviously if I don't speak French, I'm not about to cross into Burkina Faso up north to go for a visit, because I'm like, what am I going to understand? And I know that for us, Ghana, we're surrounded by French-speaking countries, which is why I think there are easier routes to go from Ghana to Nigeria, because we're like the closest,
right?
We have each other, so...
Yeah, exactly. You find a lot of Ghanaians in Nigeria and Nigerians in Ghana.
Exactly.
When I was in Nigeria, so many people thought I was Ghanaian. But it's okay.
It's funny how that works out. So before we move on to our next segment, one thing that I did want us to talk about, though, is why is it that when we do have the money and everything works out, like, all things equal, we do almost always go to Western countries instead?
I will
have to say that for me, when I was younger in secondary school, because I didn't visit abroad until I was maybe 16, 17, whatever, because my mom had moved to the UK when I was like 6 or 7, and I just lived in Ghana the whole time. And I tell you, getting a visa was a pain, like the things we had to go through. But anyway, moving on. I remember people would go abroad and come and just act like there was gold on these, you know, Western streets, gold hanging on the leaves, etc. And it was always very much like, oh my goodness, like, I had XYZ, blah, 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 blah. And so then when you haven't been abroad, it's almost like you're like, what am I missing? Like, what am I lacking? Like, I need to go and see this thing, etc. So I think that a lot of times kind of fuels this direct instinct for us to be like, I've made it, so I need to go abroad. Like, I need to come to the West and also take my pictures and show
people. And there's a status symbol too, right? Yes. To be like, oh, my family can afford not just leisurely travel, but leisurely travel like outside of the continent.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. But I do think that obviously too, to play devil's advocate, I think that the other part of the story is sometimes, you know, these Western countries a lot of the times, I think at least from what is portrayed in the media, seems just so different from our reality. So I think that sometimes maybe that also comes from us just wanting to see and experience these things that look so different, so foreign to our everyday lives. So
right.
It's a mixture of loads of things. But I think that also when it comes back to travel on the continent, like what I'm finding more and more is that a lot of these Western places that we want to go, we have them right on the continent. Like, we're going to talk a bit more later on about our travel bucket list, etc. But, like, if you want the sandy, nice, laid-back beaches of Greece, you can go to Zanzibar. You can go to Seychelles. You can go to...
But, I mean, even the name, like, has some beautiful beaches and stuff.
There we go. Today, yeah. Oh, my gosh, you guys. Today, just, you know how you can go on the Instagram rabbit hole. I saw this girl who has a travel account for Ghana, and she posted this, like, drone shot of this... these white sandy beaches, like, super pretty. And I was like, where is that? And everybody in the comments is like, where is this, where is this? And they were like, oh yeah, it's right here in Ghana with us. And I was like, what? I never knew of this. So I think,
exactly.
Yeah, this it teaches me that I need to explore my own country and my own continent more and more.
Yeah, and I think on that point, there have been a lot of people on Instagram and, you know, like millennials or whatever, who have been doing such a great job of highlighting all the hot spots in Africa throughout various African countries. And I just really love social media for that, because I think it's really elevated the status of African tourism, because it's one of those things that you have to see to believe it, right? So before, like, it was like we didn't go to, like, whatever, like, neighboring African country because we don't know what's there. But now you can't say that because you can Google what's there, right?
Exactly. There's this girl I follow, and she started to branch out more of Africa, but I think when I started following her, her main focus was traveling the African continent. I think her name is Spirited Pursuit, and she just always takes like, she sold Senegal to me so much.
She's gorgeous, Zanzibar.
She sold all.
Yeah, I feel like she's taking a lot of stuff in Senegal and everything. I follow her too. I love her account. Another person who's been doing such an amazing job also is Lori Kenny. I think she's like either doing or completing like a Princeton in Africa fellowship. Maybe Senegal might be her base, but I'm not sure. But anyway, she does such a good job of like highlighting the various African countries she's traveled to. Mm-hmm. And she had this really like powerful post a few weeks ago where she talked about like why she promotes travel Africa. And she was just kind of talking about how like she doesn't feel welcomed all the time. Like, I mean, clearly this isn't like a generalization or anything. Just like there's a lot of different Western countries she's been to where people like ask like, why you here, like, or like, you know, they stereotype her. And so she's like, why am I gonna go spend my money to these at these places that don't seem to want me when like I have just as beautiful of beaches, just as interesting of attractions, like right in my own backyard. So
exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I think that is the reality of it, right? That's the reality of traveling while Black. You know, it comes down to it. It's like you want to be surrounded, you want to go where you're welcomed, you want to not feel
spend
like
your money like where you feel like you
exactly
know, where
exactly.
It'll be appreciated.
Exactly. And that's why I think for me, you know, the more I've grown up and the more I've traveled is the more has persuaded me all the more to want to travel way more within the continent.
Exactly. And some people will be like, oh, but like the quality of like whatever, you know, might not be the same, but like it's coming, it's getting there. But also if you look at the right places, like if that's important to you, like staying at a 5-star hotel, like whatever. There's various ways to like find those places within Ghana, Nigeria, Senegal, like wherever you want to look. And I think like organization that's been doing a really good job with that is Peacemakers Africa. So there's this like travel app that like features like, you know, like their tagline is like travel Africa, skip mediocre, right? So like they're not, it's not about like going to those places where they're like, oh, and this is like, you know, like those cool trips where they just like take you to see whatever they think the stereotypical Africa is in your head. Like, Peacemakers Africa is like, forget that. Like, let's be like where all the hit creatives are hanging out. Like, let's show you this place where, you know, maybe there's like street art or whatever. Let's show you where everybody goes clubbing. Let's show you like the lounges and the bars, things like that. So there's definitely that lifestyle that if that is the kind of travel that you are really into, you can definitely find organizations that will cater to you. So like every kind of, like Nana said earlier, every kind of travel that you want to do is available throughout Africa.
Exactly. So I think that I think that this is something, like we said, this is something that we've seen happening more and more on social media. And I think that's also, you know, our hope for this episode, that we're going to have these conversations that hopefully you can identify with, and hopefully will also make you think, what destination should I be looking at on the motherland?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So having said that, we're going to transition to our last segment. So we're going to start with just talking about our own countries and what some spots are that we think are a bit under the radar or don't get enough love that you should definitely check out if you're ever there. Or if you currently live there, you haven't been, because Lord knows
I haven't
been to these places that I'm about to talk about either. I tell you, I'm just a sad case. Like, I'm going back to Ghana September or October. And the thing is that my itinerary is already planned by my dad. And it's just, I'm a 20.
You're like, I am a grown woman.
I'm a grown woman. Give me free. Leave me alone. But we'll get there. We'll get there. Anyway.
But yeah, so for me, I'm kind of going on with like organizations that do such a great job of promoting travel in Africa. One Nigerian brand that I absolutely love what she's doing is Social Prefect. I think her name is Amaka. And she runs like a tourism company within Nigeria. And so she takes people to like all sorts of different places throughout Nigeria. Like there's this mangrove right outside of Lagos that lots of people need to check out. And it's like super amazing. She's taking people up in Idanre Hills. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, but it's Idanre Hills. It's right in Ondo. Like, this beautiful, really high hill that's awesome to check out. So I just really love the work that she does in, like, taking people around various Nigerian spots. So if you're new to Nigeria and you're trying to go there, I would definitely suggest you guys check her out and, like, sign up for one of her tours. And this is, like, she did not pay us for this podcast, y'all. I'm not going to be listening. You want to pay us, you should. But I just love supporting her because I love the work she's doing. So she can keep going at it, sending customers her way. Personally, for me, from a personal standpoint, as far as like hidden places or underrated places that I've been to within Nigeria. So, as many of you know, I lived in Nigeria for the past like year and a half, and I just recently got back stateside. So during that time, I was very intentional about traveling all around. And so a few of the places that I went that were really, really cool is like the Sacred Grove in Oshun, which is like actually a UNESCO World Heritage Site. So that's really cool. I think the only one in Nigeria, I'm pretty sure. Another place that I think is really cool is Abeokuta, which is like a day trip from Lagos. So like all of these places like don't have to just be in Lagos or Abuja, which are like the two biggest cities in Nigeria, right? Another cool place is one place that my friend Chineme went to when she was living in the east was, oh my gosh, the name is totally slipping my mind, but it's like basically Ubudu Forest or something like that. And so it's kind of like a natural game reserve and things like that. And so you can like go and check out all these different locations. There's just so much that like, yeah, I could probably go on forever. But for me, I would say those are like some of my top spots to check out. Like definitely Abeokuta and the Sacred Grove. Yeah.
Yay. Have you
been? Oh, and the Ekiti Waterfalls.
Have you been to these places?
Yeah, so Oshun, the Sacred Grove I've been to, Abeokuta I've been to, Ekiti Waterfalls I've been to,
Okay, cool. So there's a healthy balance here. We have one person that actually experienced these things that she's talking about. But I promise, guys, I've done my research, and so these are good ones. The thing is, when I was younger, like, my grandma and I, we would travel a lot. Like, I remember one time we went to the Ebri Botanical Gardens, which is in the eastern region. So if you're in Accra, it's a couple of hours bus ride, but it was absolutely beautiful. I can't speak much to what it looks like now, but I think, you know, if it's anything like what it was, then I'll definitely say that it was worth a visit. Like, that's still such a fond memory in my mind. So if you have kids, or, you know, even if you're an adult, like, I feel like that's a place that you can definitely go, you know, with a loved one or a family outing or whatever. Another place, and I actually got this inspiration from my friend on Instagram, shout out to you, Penelope, if you're listening, is that I saw that I think she had done a recent, I don't know if it was like a group or a solo hiking she had hiked up the mountain we have in Ghana, or the highest mountain we have in Ghana, which is Afajatu, mm-hmm. or Mount Afaja. It's in the Volta region, and it's definitely like a nice escape. Because it's a couple of hours from the capital. If you're very much into nature, very much want to get your fitness on, you know, see a different side, I'd recommend this. Pretty close to Afajatu is also the Wuli Waterfalls, and that's WLI. And Wuli is the highest waterfall in West Africa. And it's quite close to Afajatu or the Afaja Mountain. And so, once again, you can make a day or a couple of days, you know, a weekend get away from this. Go hike up Afajatu. Go see Wuli Waterfalls. And also, you can go see the Tafi Atomi Monkey Sanctuary, which is where you have the Mona monkeys. So, it's like a little reserve. You can go feed them, just have a little escape from the city. If you want to go, I know that, you know, Elmina Castle is always such a popular destination. Obviously, there's a lot of history there and a lot of what it represents. But something that you can also do while you're in Cape Coast is go to Kakum National Park. I'm too chicken, and so I've never gone there. But Kakum is essentially like canopy walks through trees, and it's quite high up. And that thing always looks like it's swinging a bit too much. So I've just been like, it's a no for me. But I know loads of people who have gone, and they've all said it was a really good experience. So that's also something that you can do. Those are just a few of the places. And what we can do is probably for our social media promoting this episode, we're going to, you know, get pictures of some
of these for you.
Yeah, and put them up so that you
can see. One place in Ghana that was super cool is the Mole National Park as well. I think it's a little bit north of Kumasi. I went there in 2015 with an Elon trip. And so we actually like got to see like elephants, so that was really cool. I remember one story at Mole. We were like sitting at the breakfast table together, and a baboon like jumped on our table, stole our photographer's peanut butter, and like left. So that was cool. So Mole National Park is definitely like a really cool place to check out. But I think it's like family owned and everything, like not owned, but it's like family run, because like the person who runs it, like his son was there and like trained to run it too, whatever.
That's pretty cool. Before we wrap up in these last 5 or so minutes, we know we're probably over our 30 minute. That whole 30 minute thing we talked about, that was such a joke, but we're going to try.
I don't know why I keep reminding people. Some people told me they like the long form. One of your friends like DM'd me and was like, I like this long form. So guys, let us know. Like, do you want us to keep it to 25 minutes, or do you mind us rambling on to you for 45 minutes straight?
Hey, okay, let's not jump over a bit more. I have had friends who have told me, like, girl, keep that ish short. So
we're gonna
I think let's say that the better average now is just around 35, and then we'll just try and keep it under. And obviously, if we don't have anything useful to say, we will not waffle on for that long. But anyway, wrapping up, we're gonna talk about some destinations within the continent that is on our bucket list and we're really excited about. I'm gonna start. So I mentioned earlier, but Lamu, Kenya is the place that I'm really excited about. To be honest, I didn't even know about it or know much about it until I saw a picture on Instagram, this super fly picture of these girls taking like a girl strip, laying by the pool, just doing no one knows what. And I was just like, what?
Adding back to my list.
Right? I was like, where is this place? And I went and researched it. So Lamu is, along with Zanzibar, so they're very synonymous. So I'm not going to talk about Zanzibar because I'm talking about Lamu, is I think they're both recognized as the oldest Swahili settlements dating back to the 13th century. So talk about history. Lamu, and just a few fun facts, there are only, I think, two cars in the city. I think the governor's car and a car that's like, I think the ambulance for the donkeys, because the city, you travel, I know that look in your face, you travel either with dhows, which are almost like small boats or canoe-like boats to go across if needed, or donkeys. So, I mean, tell me, when else are you going to go to, you know, a place like that? And there's so much to see and do. The place has lots of influences dating back to its unique history. It did trade with, you know, the Arabs, the Portuguese, etc. And so that influence is very much alive in the food, the culture. It is largely and predominantly Muslim, so you're not about to be there with your Fashion Nova bikini, but there's loads to see and there's loads to do. It looks absolutely beautiful. Once again, these are pictures that we're going to put up on our Instagram account so you can see it. So Lamu is completely on my bucket list.
Sounds like number one.
It is number one. The other one is, so also the reason why Lamu appeals to me so much is that it reminds me a lot of Marrakesh. And Marrakesh in Morocco is somewhere that had been on my list for forever. But I keep hearing very mixed reviews about it, so I've just been like, I don't know if I want to go and explore this for myself. So once Lamu came on the list, I was like, okay, this is just like a bit of Marrakesh like mixed in right here, so I'll just knock these two out by going to Lamu. So that's mine. Amalia, what's yours?
Yeah, so for me, first of all, I just want to get out there that I want to go everywhere. So there's that. I know Lori Kemi that I mentioned earlier should do like a 54 before 54, which is trying to like hit every African country before she turns 54. I think she's like well on her way to doing that. I definitely want to, if nothing else, even if I don't get to do the 54, all 54 countries, I definitely want to at least see all 15 ECOWAS countries and just like really make sure I get like a good idea of all the countries within West Africa. So starting with that, I want to go back to Côte d'Ivoire really badly because my brother and I spent like a week there, so it was more like a work retreat like between us because there was some projects we wanted to work on. So we more or less like holed ourselves up in our Airbnb and just like went to work. But we got a chance to really get to know the area around us and like, you know, we bought like our food daily from the local market and things like that. So we got to know our neighbors, which is really cool, which is a different kind of travel experience rather than like copying from tourist attraction to tourist attraction, which is, you know, they're interesting. We really got a chance to like get to know our neighbors, chat with them. Like I bought onions from the same lady each day. Mm-hmm. So and the people at the boulangerie got used to my face. Like they knew like when I came in, I was looking for pain au chocolat and croissant. So that kind of travel is like cool too. So it was like a slow travel. But I definitely want to go back to Côte d'Ivoire and see all the different places that are there. Because there's some gorgeous, gorgeous locations.
I can imagine.
And then another place I really want to go to is Nairobi, just because I've never been to East Africa. And so from all the places in East Africa, I just feel like maybe it's because I know a few Kenyans and they're all really awesome. So that's kind of one of my draws to Kenya as well. Yeah. But Nairobi just seems like a really hip and happening city. So I would really, really like to check that out. And then finally, I would kind of say South Africa. It's not super high on my bucket list just because of some various troubling things I've heard about it, but then I've also heard like crazy amazing things, and I feel like kind of talking like looping back to what we were talking about earlier when we were talking about like where people travel to before, when you talk about traveling in Africa, people only talk about South Africa and Egypt, so for that reason I kind of want to see the hype of like Cape Town and Johannesburg, so that's why I'm kind of interested in South Africa, just to see like what the hype is all about. But I would say that like Côte d'Ivoire and Kenya are higher on my list.
Higher on your list, yes. So on that note,
so that has been the episode. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We really love putting it together, researching all these different travel spots. Just got like our, I don't know what to call it, like wanderlust rolling, you know what I mean? So we're just like definitely ready for our next trip. But then that's probably going to be heard well before me, which is fine. And so, yeah, just let us know what you thought about this episode. Where do you want to travel to? Either leave the comments below or continue the conversation over on our Instagram. And make sure you follow all the various accounts that we just talked about today. And make sure you're following us, Afropolitan Central, across Instagram and Facebook. We love having you guys here. And we just really wanted to say, like, thank you. Like, we've gotten so much good feedback from different people about, like, you know, what they like and everything. So just please keep bringing that. We want to keep bringing you guys these awesome episodes. So we just want to say thank you.